Now, that was me getting into Scientology. Now, what are the good things about it? Because I like to tell people, you know, people go, well, what did you like? I mean, obviously there are good things about it. They said it's an applied philosophy. I forgot to tell you that. That was the thing that guys said to me. I said, what's Scientology? They said it's an applied philosophy. Well, that was my problem. Remember with the Eastern religions? I couldn't apply them. So now I'm like, this is it. It's an applied philosophy. It has tools that you can learn. And they're little tools that are easy. Like, probably many of you have heard Tom Cruise talk about how great the study tech is, right? Because he had a hard time learning. I mean, because of his ADD thing. Well, I had a hard time in school also memorizing. And the study tech does make things very simple. It's kind of basic stuff that a lot of people would use, but for people who get confused, you don't know that. And it's basically three tools. One is look up a word if you don't understand it. The second one is go at your own rate and make sure you don't skip what Hubbard called a gradient. And the third one is don't have a lack of math. Like if you're talking about ships and you've never seen a ship, go look one up, go touch one, go feel one, right? That's what Tom Cruise is talking about, those three things. And it sounds like, how could that be so great? But when you have trouble studying, it really makes it easy. The other thing Hubbard did was he said, I'm going to make these things in check sheets, right? So all of their courses, you can go as fast as you want or you can go as slow as you want. And in a way, that's very helpful, but in the end, it's tricky because Hubbard built in these traps where you can't talk to other people about the tech, right? He called it keeping Scientology working, and it's in every single course that you study every time. You have to read, and it isn't just this, it's a six-page article where he goes on and on and on, but I'll read to you the points. It's having the correct technology, knowing the correct technology, knowing it's correct, teaching correctly the correct technology. Now those are like obvious, you know, okay. But then this isn't in here, but he has a whole big long thing on why do groups fail, and they fail because people don't rat on each other. Like she might not be knowing the tech right, I see it, I don't write it up on her, and she's going to get screwed up and leave. So you start going, oh, okay, and he had a thing called knowledge reports, and you have to write up a knowledge report. If you see anybody who doesn't have the correct technology, they don't know it correctly. So the next one, six, is seeing the technology is correctly applied, hammering out of existence incorrect technology, knocking out incorrect applications, closing the door on any possibility of incorrect technology, and closing the door on incorrect applications. And I'm talking closing. If you don't close that, you're in trouble, okay? So it goes around, you see what I mean? And it costs money. All this stuff costs money. You got to remember that. Scientology is a money-making business machine. And I can say that to anybody at any time. They can say they're a religion all they want, all day long. But I know one thing, Hubbard never talked about God, hardly ever. I mean, he may have mentioned him, but on his upper levels, he puts down Jesus, he puts down churches, he puts down a lot of things. And maybe for skeptics, you're like, yeah, that's right. But it's a little weird, you know, the way he pretends he's one thing over here, but then over here, he's really a different thing. And it's very tricky to piece it together because first of all, you're always applying keeping Scientology working. And if you're not, your friend's going to go, you know what? I saw her and she wasn't applying it right. They write it, you'll find out. You'll get a copy of the knowledge report. You've got to go to what they call ethics. They're going to, you know, all right, what's wrong with you? What's your name in the back with the gray hair? What's your name? You. Yeah, what's your name?
David.
So let's say they send you to Alex. David, you didn't write up, you know, we've got a knowledge report. You found out that, you know, such and such happened, and you saw it happen, and you didn't do anything. They're out studying yoga. What happened? They can't study yoga. Do you see what I mean? And now you're in ethics, what they call ethics. Anyway, I'm getting off track, but I forget what I was talking about, so don't worry about it. I'll figure it out. No. Okay, so now, let's go back to this. Two things I wanted to mention to you. Like my face, I had a little procedure. Hubbard came up with a thing called suppressive people. I'm now declared a suppressive person. I brought my suppressive person declare, just to show you. This is a declare of me saying, Tori, my last name was Bazazian when I was married. Tori Bazazian of Los Angeles, California is hereby declared a suppressive person. It goes on and on how bad I am, and her only terminal is the International Justice Chief via the Continental Justice Chief. Now, how did that come about? I'll tell you how that came about. when I left, I don't want to get all into the leaving story, but Mark, who's in the back making a video, made a video of me trying to just talk to their people at one of their organizations saying, Scientology believes in communication. Stop just filming them and come talk to them. People were picketing, right? And they wouldn't. And finally, I just got mad and I started talking. Mark put it on the internet. They declared me a suppressive person the next day. I mean, it's like you have to march to their drum or nothing, or they'll declare you. So the fear tactics are always in it. Some of the other better things that you think are you've got nice people there. They are nice people, but they're only your friends as long as you're jumping through the hoops right. But you don't know that. And it's very hard to, have any of you tried to talk to Scientologists about skepticism or anything? And it's difficult, right? Have you found it difficult? It's very difficult because they have these traps built in. The academics who have studied cults say the two worst cults are the Moonies and Scientology. And why is that? Because they build in these traps early on so that none of you can get to them to go, wake up. Go, you know, you can go on the internet now and read all kinds, everything I'm saying is on the internet. But they can't go on the internet. Scientology put in a net nanny on their computers when computers came out. This is a true story. And I was at their, I'm skipping ahead, but I'm just going to tell you about the net nanny. We were at a big event in 1999. I was in Scientology and they said, look, the computers are coming out. They're really big. We need all of you to get on the internet. So we have computers all around the room. We want you all to sit down, just type up your success stories, and, you know, you'll be on the internet. So we all sit down, we type up our little story. They tab on all their little links, which are all to their Scientology, you know, front groups, right? But we don't know that. You know, it's like Narcanon and Criminon and all the Way to Happiness, all these things that we know of, but most of us didn't know computers at the time in 99. And so then they hand you a disk and they say, put this on your computer. And you're like, why? And they say, well, people are going to want to talk to you. So now you'll be able to get in touch with them. I said, well, that makes sense. So I put it on my computer. Now, I never even tried to go on the internet, but the truth is it puts this lock on anything that might connect to you to critical thinking about Scientology. Any of the things I'm talking about, any of the references on Scientology, any of the Xenu.net, which is a huge website, XenuTV.com, which is a huge thing on videos, all kinds of, there's tons of websites now with critical information about Scientology, but it locked it all out. So you could be a Scientologist typing in, and all that comes up is a piece of blue sky. So I always say it's like this Truman Show. How many people in here saw the Truman Show? Right. And, you know, it looks fabulous, right? And that's how it is. It's like, hi, come on in. We're so happy you're here. And, you know, whatever. That's how it works. You just have tons of people there. Now, so SP is a suppressive person. PTS is a potential trouble source. That's what they said. So if you're sick, if you have this, if you have any problems at all, you are PTS. Now, I happen to have epilepsy. I haven't had a seizure in 20 years, but when I was in Scientology, I did, because they routed me out of their C organization, which was Hubbard's highest staff members. You know, the guys that are in the uniforms? You know, one of my friends calls them the stewardesses in their uniforms. How many have seen the uniforms around in L.A.? Right, most of you. Well, they wear Navy uniforms. And Hubbard had a bunch of trouble, which I'm going to tell you about, and then eventually moved out into the ocean because he was safe there, right? But I joined the Sea Org, and because I had epilepsy, I needed medication. And I said, you know, look, my medication's out. I need to order my medication. They route me to some yo-ho who's not trained, not a medical anything, but he's a Sea Org member. And he says, well, you know what? We need to get you off your medication. And I want you to take 9,000 vitamins. This will handle it. So now I'm in the Church of Scientology having grand mal seizures. But, of course, when I come out of it, people are going, well, you know what? Your postulates are wrong. Now, a postulate in Scientology means your decisions. So it always comes back to you. You're wrong, right? It's not that I have a physical condition. It's that I'm not strong enough or able enough to handle this, right? So you get trapped up in it. And I'm talking to my mom, luckily, thank God, and she's going, Tori, you're going to die from this. Because my memory is getting worse and worse as I'm having more seizures. And, you know, she's like, Tori, you've got to take your medication. And I'm like, oh, no, Dianetics is going to handle it, Mom. It really will. And she's like, no, it won't. It's a physical condition. You need to take your medication. And it gets worse and worse. And finally, I go out on a date, and I call her the next day, and she goes, how was your date? And I said, what date? And she said, you know what? That's it. You know, I had knocked out my teeth in the shower. I had a seizure. And she said, this is it. You know, they are going to kill you. You have to go back on your medicine. And that was really the first big, you know, skeptical, critical thing for me, because I was on the bridge to total freedom, and all of a sudden I had to get a little off of it and go, okay, I am going to die if I keep on this program. So I'm not going to tell anybody, but I'm going to start taking my medication. And I did. And that was like, so for 30 years I fought that. I mean, fought it vigorously. And now none of it, you can go into any of their churches and they'll say I'm crazy, that that's not true. They always tell people to go to the doctors. They have signs all over saying if you have a medical condition, go to the doctor. But behind closed doors, they're always saying, did you handle epilepsy yet? Are you still taking that medication? How did this level work for it? Did it fix it? Now that's pretty scummy, isn't it? You know, it's like, it's really bad news. So I was labeled a PTS person, and they, of course, figured my mom was the suppressive, right? Because my mom was always sending me articles, probably from the Skeptic Society, saying, you know, here's about Scientology, and I just throw them away. You know, it's like, no, I don't want to read that. That's, they call it N-theta. It's interpolated theta, and theta is like spiritual. So it's like, no, don't read that. It's N-theta. Don't look at that. It's N-theta, right? So I was like shutting down all the time on that. Now, early on with Hubbard, he had some trouble in the early days. In 1950, he came out with Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health. I know some people who were in then, and they did what they called co-auditing, where it's like you would audit me, I audit you. Auditing is like counseling, right? It was basically talk therapy, but with a few little twists on it. And his biggest twist was that he said you have a reactive mind and you have an analytical mind. The analytical mind is like a computer, it's just storing information. The reactive mind is filled with mental image pictures of pain and unconsciousness and losses. Now, how many people in here can say you don't have any pain, unconscious, or losses, right? I mean, all of us. So you read that and you go, wow. And Hubbard said you could erase your reactive mind. Now, again, this conversation I'm having with you, I never had with my husband of 27 years. So you might be going, I don't get it. You know, why would you fall for that? But you remember, keeping Scientology working, you can't talk about the tech to people. You can only read it and learn it. If you start discussing it, you're off to ethics again, right? Because it's either the tech works or you're going to ethics. Because it's like there's a thin line, Hubbard said, between ethics and tech. And it's like if someone's having a problem, they go to ethics. So, where was I? Okay, so Dianetics comes out. They start co-auditing, and people are starting, you know, Hubbard was like a good, like a P.T. Barnum kind of thing. He had a lot of charisma. People liked him. The people I knew that were in then, they were pretty jazzed. It was pretty exciting. And mental health wasn't doing so great back then, so this was Dianetics' Modern Science of Mental Health. And Hubbard said you could erase your reactive mind and you would be clear, right? Have any of you ever heard that term, clear? Right. Which is no reactive mind, which was, he said you'd have a perfect memory, you'd have no more upsets, no more moments of loss, you'd be right in present time all the time, computing perfectly. Okay? It sounded pretty good to me. I thought, wow. And I was excited, and Scientology, there's two sides to it. There's auditing and there's training. So they can either get you in, let's say you're upset, they would go, you need to go clear. Come on in, we'll get you clear. Let's say you go, I want to help mankind. Come on in, we'll train you up as an auditor, we'll get you clearing people. And you can, you know, and my grandfather was a doctor, and I was always around, he helping people, my dad helping people. But I didn't have the patience to go through college and medical school, and I thought, perfect, I can clear people, this will be great, you know. And I did, I wrote my dad, I said, I found my profession, you know, I'm going to be an auditor. And I mean, I will say this to every single person, because I tell people this all the time, always tell people how you feel about them and how much you love them. Because you never know when you're going to lose someone. I lost my dad. He was 51. He was a professional athlete, but he had a heart attack and he died. And I was the only person in the family who had written him everything. I just said, you know, I'm so sorry for all that I've done to you and the trouble I've caused you, but I found what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to be a Scientologist, a Dianetic auditor, all this other stuff. He probably had a heart attack over that. But anyway, it was great. I was the only person that got to tell him how much I loved him. And I always tell people, tell him today, because you never know. You just never know. But anyway, getting back to it, Scientology does practice medical malpractice. That's what happens. That's what happened with me getting off my medicine. That is medical malpractice. My doctors prescribe this. This yo-ho who's not trained in anything is telling me you have to get off your medication, right? Well, this started in 1951. Hubbard at the Dianetic Org in Elizabeth, New Jersey was kicked out due to practicing without medicine without a license. So he moved to Kansas. He was a good, you know, move around guy, right? Moved to Kansas, moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Late in 52, due to a bankruptcy, Hubbard lost the rights to Dianetics, which becomes the property of John Parcell at the Kansas Dianetic Center. So now he drops the name Dianetics. He's not using that as much. He starts in calling it Scientology. Now, Hubbard says Scientology means knowing how to know. As skeptics, it couldn't be farther from that. You know, truthfully, it couldn't. But you believe it when you get in. 53, Dianetic Group in Detroit, Michigan was raided by police and e-meters confiscated again. He was charged with practicing medicine without a license. So Hubbard wrote Helen O'Brien, who was the head of the Pennsylvania Dianetic Group, and said, with the recent events, we should look at marketing ourselves as a spiritual clinic. Now keep in mind, in 47, Hubbard was quoted saying, if you want to make money, start a religion. That was really the beginning of, 1 month later, he started the Church of Scientology, right? So it kind of switched from Dianetics into the Church of Scientology. Now, when you're in Scientology, you don't know that. All that stuff I just told you don't know anything about. You have no access to it. You have no way to read it. You know, any of this critical information, you don't know. So, and you get in trouble if you read it. So, you know, it's just, and again, people go, but how could you do that? But it's like the Truman Show. These scientists did these experiments. Have anybody ever seen the Milgram experiment? Well, they had these two experiments they did. One of them, my favorite, is the one with lines where this guy, and this is a true scientific experiment where the guy had two long lines, two short lines. He took five kids in a room and he said, look, we're going to change this guy's mind. You're going to tell him the long line equals the short line. And we're going to do it until he changes his mind. And they go, and it's filmed. He films it and they go around the room and they go, which line equals which? And the five kids go, well, let's say one and three are long and long. So they go one and two, one and four, basically saying the long line equals the short line. And the last guy, the new guy, the Duke, comes. He goes, no way. You know, it's like the long line equals the long line. And so then they go, you know what? You're not getting it. What's happening with you? You're not looking at this. Look, you've got to focus. I mean, we're going to do it again. We're going to give you another try, but focus. Look at it, right? And they go around again, and the guy, now you see his face at the end, because all the five guys go, the long line equals the short line, and at the end he's like, you can tell he's a little confused. He's not quite sure. And he goes, no, the long line equals the long line. And they go, okay, come on, man. What's going on with you? Look, all five of us saw it. What's happening with you? Come on. Now look at it. Now focus. Think about it, right? And they really pound it into him. He's not getting it, right? So they say, okay, we're going to do it one more time. And they do it one more time. And the last time you see his whole face, his own knowingness, his own himself kind of drops away. And he goes, okay, the long line equals the short line. And it's peer pressure. And that's what happens in Scientology, truthfully. And I know Scientologists will go, oh, that's not true at all. Count on me. That's what happens. My analogy is it's like a slow train of mind control where, and think of a pyramid. Down here, tons of people get in. Come on in, hop on the train. It's $20. It's a communication course. And they, again, remember, people don't join cults. Cults find you. So they'll find you, they can, ooh, you look like a good guy. They'll be thinking, hey, that guy's got money. We can get him in. It's always one of the prerequisites. They have enough money to do the bridge now. It wasn't when we got in, but now it is. They've changed it so it's so much money, it's ridiculous. But anyway, why don't we have lunch? You know, come on over to Celebrity Center. I think we could talk to you. And the guy goes over to Celebrity Center. Everybody's really friendly. He's like, wow, this is cool. This is working along. And all of a sudden, more people come in and, you know, like, why don't you sign up for the communication course? We've done it. It's really great. So the guy says, okay, here's $20. He's on the train, right? But he's planning, you know, I'm getting off at the next stop. I mean, I'm here. I'm on the train, but I'm getting off at the next stop. But now the next stop comes and he goes, okay, that was great. I had my success. And you remember, every course you finish, you have to do a success story. In the old days, you had to read your success story. You get these huge accolades from everyone. So you, if they call it, and people have studied cults, they call it love bombing, because you've never felt so much love in your life. You know, it's like, wow, I'm really terrific. I did this communication course, right? And actually, truthfully, the communication course I love. It's a great little tool. And a lot of people who left said that was one of their original successes, was the beginning communication course. But then you go to get out, and they go, no, you can't leave. You haven't even gone into the second car. You've got to get clear. You've got to do OT. You know, you've got to do all these other things. So they keep moving you along the train. And you keep going car to car, more and more money as you go up. Remember, it's more and more money, and it's more and more now. What is your name? Yeah.
Joy.
Okay. We are allowing you. You've been invited to come on to the OT level. But we have to know that you're ready for the OT level, right? And that's a big thing, Joy. I mean, this is a huge step. It's a huge responsibility. Most of these bozos in here are never going to make it. But you are. We picked you out. You know, we know you can do it. You can. Most people, they won't make it. They don't have the money. They don't have the intention. You know, they'll even say it. They don't have the ability. But you have the ability, Joy. And we picked you. And so we want you to come in. We're going to show you a little video and see if you're really, you might not be. There's a couple other people in the room that might make it, but we think you're it. So we're going to show you a few things and do an interview with you, and then we'll see if you're ready or not. See what I mean? So it's like all these little things that just get you like, okay, I am ready. No, I'm ready. They are bozos. I'm ready. But that's how it works, I swear to God. And it's level after level. But what happened with CLEAR, getting back to that, CLEAR didn't work. Hubbard said he got the first CLEAR, they had it down at the Shrine Auditorium. And remember, he said, you have perfect memory, you have a great IQ. So the first CLEAR went up on stage, and he said, what color is my tie? And she couldn't remember it. And that was like, whoa, you know, not too cool. So he had to come up with something else to keep the people jumping through the hoops. So he said, don't worry, there's another level. It's called operating Satan. Remember, he had the Satan mind and body. Satan is a spirit, mind is your mind and body. And he was like, Dianetics really handles the body, Scientology addresses the soul. And so he was like, okay, we're going to get you to be an operating Satan, right? And you're like, well, what is that? He's like, we can't tell you. It's confidential. It's so secret. We can't tell you. So you're like, okay. You know, a lot of it is secret, and you're like, okay, okay, okay. But you have to remember, ethics is happening all the time. Ethics is huge in Scientology. They have statistics for everything. The staff have statistics. They have the Sea Org. They have staff, and they have public. So the Sea Org are the guys in the uniforms. Sometimes they let them wear suits because the public gets sick of their uniforms, so they try to make them blend in. But they're basically the Sea Org. Staff are people that have signed a five, and Sea Org signs a billion-year contract also. Keep that in mind. Staff is a two to five-year contract, and then public are people that are just public and volunteers. I was in the Sea Org. They routed me out. Then I was on staff for a few years, left that because I had a child. And then I ended up being a volunteer for the Office of Special Affairs, which is they say it's their PR and legal division. The truth is it's their dirty tricks. It's heavy stuff. It's very heavy stuff. And that's why Steve Allen said they're a cult. You know, it's like they are. They're not a religion.